overfed but undernourished. It's a lesson that we will in fact look at today. In fact, it will be a two-part lesson. And we ask that you make sure that you also get the second part of the lesson, because in fact what I want to share with you in this lesson, some very important point, especially from in verse 7 of the text, will not be able to come out today. We'll in fact be speaking from the passage of 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1 through verse 7. My interest and the lesson is especially revolves around verse 5, 6, and 7. Most of what will be said today will be on some of the other verses. But I feel that it is necessary to set that foundation, that sort of introduction, so that you will understand better when we reach verse 7. Could you read? Well, you know what, brother, read from verse 1.
This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come.
Last days.
Perilous times shall come.
When is the last day? Now. We are living in the last days. And, you know, I throw this out so that you will understand. It's not speaking of 1,000 years from now or 500 years from now. We are living in the last days. Read on. Perilous time shall come.
For men shall be lovers of their own selves.
Men shall be lovers of their own selves.
Covetous.
May I? The text is listing some 17 to 18 sins that will characterize the last days. It doesn't mean that other sins not mentioned in the text will not be common. But what it does mean is that these sins, some 17 or 18, are sins that will be prevalent, common, in the last days. That is in our time. Read.
For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof.
Is that verse 5?
Verse 5.
Yes, having a form of godliness, but they are at the same time denying the power of godliness. Read on.
Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, for such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses, and led captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth.
The brothers just read verse 7. That's the verse that the lesson was built around. But we will not discuss that verse today. Ever learning. But they have never been able to arrive at the point that God wants them to be. Now, we must judge ourselves as Christians against this. Have we been progressing to where God wants us to be? God has a standard. God has a goal or an objective for us. Are we on our way there? Ever learning, giving interest in things religious. They are at every church service, and we just name it, but they have never been able to reach. That's verse 7. But may I? 2 Timothy. Many of you are well aware that this is the final words, inspired words from the Apostle Paul. That is, if you want to know what was the last thing that Paul spoke about, wrote about as an inspired servant of God before, in fact, it might have just been months before he died, then read 2 Timothy. After 2 Timothy, Paul, as far as we know, wrote nothing in way of being inspired. That's the final book written from jail, from prison cell. The final book. Now, you know how we are, that when we have those final moments left and we know we are going to talk about the things that are really important to us. That's the way we as human beings are. But in Paul's case, it's not just Paul, but the Holy Spirit was saying to Paul, in this final book that God has given you the privilege to write to the church about, here are some priorities. Here are some important things. Make sure the church is aware of these things. 2 Timothy, final inspired writing of the Apostle Paul. Now, in chapter 3, where we are, the two main themes of this chapter, that is, the Apostle Paul addressed two very important things in this chapter. One of them is the sinful character of the apostate, corrupt church in the last days. That is the church that has abandoned Christ's word. Men and women claim to be religious, but have gone away from God's word. here are some of the ways that you will find among them. The brother has just read some of the sin. Then secondly, in chapter 3, not only the sinful character of the apostate, corrupt church, but also the inspiration and the all-sufficiency of the Word of God. I need to repeat that. The inspiration of the Word of God and the all-sufficiency of the Word of God. That is, the Word of God is able to meet all our spiritual needs. Amen. That is also addressed in chapter 3. These are the two main themes in chapter 3. As I said, the last days is a scriptural expression for the Christian dispensation. I was tempted to give you no less than half a dozen passages in the New Testament where this term is used. And everywhere the phrase is used, last days, it is referring to the Christian dispensation in which you and I now live. Last days. Whenever you read that phrase, it is referring to the time in which we live. Wait. And also the time in which Paul lived. Last days. Brothers and sisters, as I stated, the Holy Spirit lists some 17 sins which describe the time in which, or the age in which we live. Notice the text under consideration. Verse 7. Let us hear those two verses or three verses again.
Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof.
Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof.
From such turn away.
From such turn away. Wait. Did you all get it? When you hear the church talk about, or we talk about, no, we cannot be a part of that. We cannot fellowship with. This is not the only place in the New Testament which tells you not to fellowship with. The Bible says, from such withdraw yourself. Read on.
For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth.
May I? Did you notice with me? In the text just read, that in the learning process of Christianity, the Almighty God has stated specific goals, objectives, for his people. Say that again, Brother Mitchell. Thank you for asking me. I am asking, have you noticed with me that in the two or three verses just read, that the Almighty God has, that is, in the learning process of Christianity, God has stated specifics in respect to one content material and two, not only the content material but expected goals. Read verse 7 again.
Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth.
Wait. God's goal. Are you all there? God's goal and objective is that when you listen to any sermon, when you sat through any Bible study, whatever subject is discussed, God's expectation is that you walk away with a better knowledge of the truth. That is God's expectation. It's stated in verse 7. And then content material. You don't just walk away with anything. And if you are going somewhere where what God wants taught is not taught, then find somewhere else. Because it is the truth that must be taught. Wait, Brother Mitchell, there are a lot of truth. There are scientific truth. Yes. There are economical truth. Yes, there are mechanical truths. There are astronomical truths. Biological truths. There is geographical truth. Which one should I walk away with? All these truths. There are computer truths. Which one? Could we spend a few minutes looking, just a few minutes? And in fact, I thought about this, but it's important that we understand that God, remember I talked about content material and goals that God expects to reach a certain stage, that God expects us to walk away with something from Him every time we listen, and if we listen to God's Word. We must not just pass time. We must not just sit through. We must put out effort to walk away from. Read verse 7 again, brother, even though next week is the time when we will talk a lot about that verse.
Ever learning.
Ever learning. Wait. Always eating, but still dying of malnutrition. Huh? In a little while, I'm going to hopefully get the time to read something from this book. You see the title, Death by Diet. Death by Diet. And in a few minutes, we'll get to where we will talk about the fact that biologically as well as physically, what we eat and how we eat is important. That's a fact. That is a fact. What we eat
and all we eat. Where were you, brother? Verse 7.
Ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth.
This is telling us of God's expectation, you know. That when you start through a sermon, God expects you to walk away with something. And He expects you to walk away with something from the truth. Let us hear a little about the truth. Jesus Christ told us that the truth will make us free. Now, it's important that we absorb this. That is found in the book of St. John 8:32, that the truth will make us free. Are we all there? In the book of Romans chapter 2, verse 8, we are told that the truth must be obeyed. That's another thing about the truth. It must be obeyed. Not only that, in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, we are told that the truth must be believed. The Bible says a lot about the truth. Not so it is the truth. Which means the implication is that there is no other truth like this truth. That's why it is the definite article, the, is used before it almost all the time. It is telling you something that is unique. There is none other like it. Not only are we told that the truth must be believed, we are told in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, that the church of Christ is the pillar and ground of the truth. That's right. What does that imply, Brother Mitchell? That the Almighty God left this truth with the church, His church. Mr. Mitchell, why do you have to say church of Christ? It's not applicable to all the church. No, sir. No, man. Because Jesus Christ built one true church. I say Jesus Christ built one true church. That's what this Bible tells me. One true church. And the Bible tells me that the church Christ built is the pillar. Brother Mitchell, pillar? I sleep on pillar. No, you sleep on pillow. But these columns, you see, with the gray bricks, they rest on pillar. They rest on a foundation underneath them. And the Bible tells us that the church of Christ is the pillar, main support of the truth. But not only that, the Bible tells us in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 25 that repentance leads to the acknowledgement of the truth. But not only that, in the book of Galatians chapter 2, verse 14, we are told that Christians are to live by the truth. And in the same book of Galatians, chapter 2, and verse 5, we are told that the truth will continue with God's people. Could we listen a little more about the truth? In the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 following. Let us hear it. 1 Peter 1, 22 following.
Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth.
Everybody gets that? May I, brothers and sisters, visiting friends, You and I will never be pure in God's sight until we obey the truth. I need to repeat that. Until you obey God's truth, you will never stand right in God's sight. Seeing that you have obeyed from the heart.
Seeing ye have purified your soul in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren.
Read on.
See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again.
Read. Being born again.
Not of corruptible seed.
In other words, the writer is saying, I'm not talking about biological seed. That's right. I'm talking about the Word of God. Watch here.
I see him truth in talking about, you know. He has just in verse 23 talk about the truth. And now, at his feet, he talk about the very same truth. He call it seed. But he may explain that you do not misunderstand. He said, I'm not talking about the seed that can be corrupted or decay. Read.
But of incorruptible.
Incorruptible.
By the word of God.
The word of God is that seed which that cannot be corrupted. Read on.
Which liveth and abideth forever.
It lives and abides forever. The word of God, the truth of the gospel. Read.
For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of
God. Watch here now. The same truth. But the word of God
endureth forever.
Endureth forever. Read on.
And this is the word.
And this is the word.
Which by the gospel. Is preached unto you.
You see, so when he talks about the truth or the gospel, he's talking about the word of God. In fact, run with me to a passage that I brought up a while ago, and that is Galatians chapter 2. In this case, both verse 5 and verse 14. Let us have it.
Verse 5. To whom we gave place by subjection. No, not for an hour. That the truth of the gospel.
You hear? The truth of the gospel. So when the Bible speaks about the truth, it's talking about the truth of the gospel. Not the truth of science. Not mechanical truth. Amen. But the truth of the gospel. Amen. That was verse 5. Verse 14.
But when I saw that they walk not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel.
Here again. Can you imagine? In one chapter, the inspired apostle talks about the truth of the gospel. So when the Bible talks about the truth, it's talking about the truth of the gospel. Now, look with me at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 7.
Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth.
What truth? The truth of the gospel. Amen. Look with me a passage that you know. In the book of John 17:17, sanctify them or set them apart
through thy truth.
Through thy truth.
Thy word is truth.
Thy word is truth. So I take time off to make sure that when the Bible speaks of the truth, we understand what truth is under consideration. It is the truth of the gospel. Are we there? May I, brothers and sisters, I have stated minutes ago that the Almighty God in the learning process of the Christian religion, the Almighty God has specific stated goals and objectives. Are we there? In respect to the contents, what contents? The truth. And in respect to the goal God set for us, arriving at knowledge of the truth. Not just any and every religious teaching which comes our way. That's not what God is talking about in the passage. Not just any and every religious teaching which comes our way. And of course, God's willing, next week we get deeper in that. Men and women who busy themselves with religious activity, they go from one church to another, but they never learn God's truth. There are men and women, religious men and women, who couldn't care less what a church or a preacher preaches or teaches. Mr. Mitchell, thank you for letting me know. There are religious men and women who couldn't care less what a church or a preacher preaches or teaches. That's sad. That's very sad. For them, if the teaching is religious, or if it has God or Christ attached to it, it must be okay. Oh my God, ladies and gentlemen, that is sad. That is sad. May I? It is for this reason we have passage like Matthew chapter 16, verse 6 and verse 12. Let us hear it. Matthew 16, verse 6 and verse 12.
Then Jesus said unto them.
Listen, it's the Master speaking. Jesus said unto them.
Take heed.
Take heed.
And beware of the leaven.
And beware of the leaven.
Of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees.
May I? Let me remind you, I've just stated that there are religious men and women in almost every society, especially in the western part of the world, that claim they believe in the Almighty God. They believe in Jesus Christ. They claim they believe in the Bible, but they couldn't care less what a church or a preacher preaches or teaches. My God, Jesus Christ is telling us here. Well, let me back up. Who is the Pharisees and the Sadducees? These were two religious groups mentioned by Christ. You know what? They used the same scripture that Christ used. Very same. They believe in the same God that Jesus Christ believed in. And they claim, or at least said, they were worshipping the same God that Christ was worshipping. Let me hear what Jesus Christ said again, brother.
Take heed and beware of the leaven, of the Pharisees, and of the Sadducees.
But somebody, brother Jonathan, would say to me, but Mr. Mitchell, Jesus Christ is talking about leaven. He's not talking about bread. Because leaven is baking powder. Yes. Leaven is baking powder. But Jesus Christ is not really talking about bread. You know what Jesus Christ is talking about? Jesus Christ is showing us that the same effect that a little baking powder have on the entire dough. 1 ounce of baking powder in a 2 or 3 pound of dough, that ounce of baking powder going to penetrate and it's going to affect the 4 or 5 pound of dough. But Mr. Mitchell, how you know that he's not talking about bread? Because he tells in verse 6, in verse 12, he tells us. Let us see.
Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of the bread. Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine.
Of the what?
Of the doctrine.
Brother, Jonathan. But people say doctrine does matter. The world in which we live, we are being told by religious men and women who go from church to church. And they are always learning religious things, but next week we'll find out more that they never know God's truth. They tell us that doctrine doesn't matter. But here the Master, Jesus Christ himself, is warning his disciple and by extension us that we must be weary. Be careful of the doctrine of a particular religious group. When you see the sign "beware" on a gatepost, it might be telling us that there's some dangerous dog in the place. And you will get hurt if you open the gate and go in. When Jesus Christ pledged, "Beware," before the teaching, the doctrine, and the practice of a particular religious group, Christ is telling us, don't enter there. Don't embrace that. Don't be a part of that. Because there is eternal danger there for you. Beware of the doctrine
of the leaven of bread.
Of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees, two religious groups that believe in the same God that Christ believed, use the same scripture. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16. Let us hear it. 1 Timothy 4:16.
Take heed unto thyself. And unto the doctrine.
Here again, people tell us, Jonathan, doctrine doesn't matter. What does doctrine mean, Mr. Mitchell? It means teaching. It means teaching. Take heed.
Unto thyself.
Unto yourself.
And unto the doctrine.
And make sure that what you teach is the right teaching from God's word. Take heed. That is, don't take it for granted. May I keep in mind that as we look at this text, the text is dealing with religious people. That is the entire text of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through verse 7. It's dealing with religious men and women. Look at verse 5 again.
Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof.
You see, having a form of godliness. That's religious people. But they do not permit the power of godliness, the power of the word, of the gospel to have any effect. And be it what they teach, what they believe, how they conduct their lives. They are religious people who go to church, but they maintain only an outward show of facade. They only act religiously. They do not allow the power of righteousness to affect their lives. Never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, it is of hell and heaven importance that we identify not only that what we listen to is God's truth from the gospel, but that we make sure also that it affects our lives in a positive way. Amen. I'm going to close. This part of the lesson is just introduction. And I'm going to close it now with a last few statements. And that is, you are well aware that we have needs. Most of us here, you are well aware that we have needs. We have physical needs and we have spiritual needs. Every one of us. Whether you are aware of it or not. All of us. We have physical needs and we have spiritual needs. You know? Our physical needs, God has left that up to us. How we address that? Well, may I? The Almighty God provides the things to meet our physical need. At the same time, the Almighty God made us with different likes and dislikes in the physical needs. So you find that in the biological area, in the physical area, there are certain food you like that I don't like. But you know what? Sometimes the one you like supply your body with particular nutrient that your body needs. And even though I do not like that specific one, the other one that I like, it also supplies the body with the same thing. What a gracious God. He left that up to us. God didn't tell you or me that when you go to a restaurant, make sure you order steak. God didn't leave that up to us. God didn't take away that right from us, rather. He did not dictate when you go to a restaurant, make sure if it is not steak, you order shrimps or lobster. No, he left that completely up to us. To our taste, our desire for the moment. That's what we feel for. That's the physical need. And you know, what a gracious God. The Almighty God has furnished us with plentiful of physical things in this life. Lot of different food that you and I can choose from. But I have some more news for you. The spiritual needs. The spiritual need is a different kettle of fish all by itself. the Almighty God did not leave that up to us. If 10 of us should come together and go to a restaurant now, you'd be surprised that most of us are the different things. God has left that up to us. Thanks be to God for that. But when it comes to the spiritual, God is in total control of that. He dictates that. That was not left up to your life and my life. A word that will be coming up in next week's lesson, it's the word heresy. Have you ever checked what that word means? Wait, the word means, first it started out by meaning choice. We have a choice. And it went on to where it means you, watch here now. You create your choice by breaking off from the body that Jesus Christ left here, and you create your own choice. So the word has come to mean sectarianism. That's what the word heresy means. And next week you are going to hear the Bible describe. The word heresy literally means religious division, denominationalism. And next week the Bible is going to tell us that they are damned. What did I say? Damned. Heresy. That is religious division. That's what the word heresy means. It's used in the book of Romans. It's used, I think, in the book of Peter, John. So, God didn't leave religion up for you to pick what you want and I pick what I want. That's why the word damnable is attached to qualify the word heresy. May I, as I close, as I said, in the spiritual realm of life, Jesus Christ is the only expert. Are we all there? In the physical area, if you want to know what to eat for the body, check the dietitian and the nutritional expert. That's right. Let me close with a few words from Barefoot, the art of death by diet. Did you know that the body fluids such as blood, spinal, and saliva of the healthy are alkaline? We have been told, and especially in the modern world, that the more acidic our body is the more it attracts all sorts of disease, cancer, whatever. The more alkaline the body is the more it fights against all type of disease. Whereas the body fluids of the sick are acidic, low pH. Did you know that most degenerative disease attribute to aging, such as cancer, osteoporosis, and heart disease, and other diseases such as allergy, kidney stone, and gallstone, have all been scientifically linked. The man is telling you, and not just his opinion. It's by research they found this out. All scientifically linked to mineral deficiency that result in your body fluid, including your saliva, becoming more acidic. Mineral deficiency. Wait, what did you say, Brother Mitchell? Yes. I said, whenever we want to know what to eat, that is the physical area of life that God has left up to us, check the expert out there. Men like the people who write this and the dietitian, they'll tell you what is good for you. Here this man is telling you that when you use, get in your body either through mineral or supplement, a lot of mineral, calcium, potassium, magnesium, zinc, selenium, and all of these, it helps your body to be alkaline. But these are the experts. Now, don't go to these people if you want to know what to eat for your soul. That's right. And we are going to get to the passages which show that we eat spiritually, but the Bible is going to show us that we eat with our ears. That's right. And there is only one expert in that area. It's not me. It's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. One expert in what is good for our soul. And when you don't recognize that, that's why you will ever be learning, always learning religious things, but never ever come to the knowledge of the truth. Christian, let us learn. And let us remember that the Almighty God has goals and objectives for us every time we listen to a sermon. Every time we sit in Bible study, God expects us to leave with takeaway. Not our takeaway, but His takeaway. Knowledge of the truth. Today, you have learned at least this much. That you need to be obedient to Jesus' truth. Wait. Not just some religious truth. But Jesus' truth. In order to be saved, you must believe that Christ is your Lord, your Savior. And that Jesus Christ is the only person who can address your sin condition. And that Christ addressed your sin condition by the food of the gospel which He has prescribed for you. The passage for next week is that you desire the sincere, help me here, milk of the Word. But not only must you believe in Christ as Lord and Savior, you must make a resolve to repent of your sin. Mr. Mitchell, what do you mean? I'm a decent, I'm a good man or woman. That's good. But being decent, being good is not Christianity. You need to respond to Jesus Christ to make Him your Lord, where you will submit yourself to His Word for the rest of your life. After repenting, you must be willing to confess belief in Christ. Are you a Christian then? No. You must submit yourself to baptism. In fact, it is in baptism that you get under the influence of Jesus' blood. Let me put that another way. The power in the blood of Jesus Christ will be applied to you by the Almighty God when you become buried in the water like Jesus Christ was buried in the tomb. The Bible tells us that in the book of Romans chapter 6 from verse 3 to verse 5. You must be buried in the watery grave of baptism. The Bible uses words like with, that is with Christ. Bible use word like like. That means there is a solidarity between you and Jesus Christ as you step forward to become a child of God. You can do that today.